Hello friends, it's Toaster again. We are back with another episode, and apologies for the lack of Toasted episodes, the spin-off podcast, where me and my wife go through the main episodes. Don't for a second think that my wife and I are in any sort of choppy waters, that there's any problems with our marriage. A few people have asked that. It's absolutely fine. There's just been a few logistical issues, aka our diaries are a nightmare, and we haven't got around to doing them. Anyway, we're going to do some more soon, though, so don't panic. I know you're not. Today's episode with Nikki Chapman is a joy. She's a joy. I love her. I think you're going to enjoy this. I know I did. So please fill your aural boots, and welcome to another episode of My Mate Bought a Toaster with Nikki Chapman.
Oh, when I need a laugh, there's a helping people. But somebody's talking to these funny people. He's asking what they're buying and they're telling the stories. Can somebody yell out the name of the show, please? It's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Oh, it's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Yeah, yeah, it's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Oh, toaster for my love.
Hello, this is My Mate Bought a Toaster, and if you've never watched or listened to this podcast before, you're in for a treat, not least because we're about to dive into someone's online purchase history, but also because my guest today is an iconic dame in waiting, TV presenter, radio presenter, close personal friend, Nikki Chapman. Dame in waiting?
I like that.
Can we go with that?
Dame in waiting. I'm thinking Dame Edna Everidge rather than royalty.
Dame Edna Everidge is the sort of dame you should go for.
I'm working on the makeup and the hair. Next time you see me, it'll be purple.
So how are you?
I'm really well, thank you.
Good. Thank you very much for doing this.
Well, I'm saying delighted to be here, but should I wait and see?
Well, yes, I thought you were about to leap into my poor logistics, because before we started recording, you have been taking me through just how bad my comms were.
Can we share that?
Yeah, of course. I think people will enjoy knowing that you're here because of one WhatsApp message I sent last night.
Yeah. Probably the least prep or the least information I've ever been given for anything I've ever done. But just, there we go.
It really, I don't know whether to be proud or to feel a bit sick when I think of the things you've done. You've worked with, you know, the Simon Cowells, the Spice Girls, and now you've got Tom Price WhatsApping you. And that makes me feel like I've let myself down. Anyway, listen, I'm going to dive into your online purchase history to tell your life story, okay? And the first thing that I can see is barbecue trays.
Yeah.
Barbecue trays. So these are sort of disposable foil things. Is that what we're talking about?
No.
Because there are some of those on option here.
So we have, and it's boiling hot, although when this go out, it might be pouring with rain. But at the moment, it's boiling hot. We have a thing called a green egg. So many people know it, all different versions of.
Yeah.
And we love it. Absolutely love it. Sadly, it doesn't get much use, but it cannot be moved. It is in the garden. It is there. But when you try and wash the grill, and we had a rotisserie chicken at the weekend.
Oh, lovely.
You can't get the grill in the sink. Is this interesting for everybody?
Yeah. Oh, no. Can I just say something I should really warn you about, a caveat for the show, and regular listeners and viewers will know this. Every single guest very early on goes, is this interesting?
Okay.
And I have to reassure you, trust me, it is. Well, we revel in the mundanity. And in a minute, I'm going to find out loads about your life via the means of a green egg.
If you thought I was boring, I'm now going to confirm it. So you can't fit the grill in a sink. So you buy this little plastic tray, which is quite shallow.
I see.
But it fits in and you can just soak it afterwards.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Do you need to clean the tray? Because I am of a school where with a barbecue, you just sort of let the grill like live. And when you put it under the heat naturally burns off all the bacteria.
Have you seen though what grows on it if you leave it for a few weeks?
It's good for you. You know about your biome.
Eating at your house. No, chicken needs washing.
You'll get a text the night before.
Will I?
Yeah. Well, 50-50.
If you're lucky.
But
chicken, you've got to be careful. And it cleans it. It's nice. You know what? Our barbecue is clean. Yeah. Mm. I'm saying our barbecue. My husband does it all. He cooks. He does it all. I wash.
Outdoors is obviously a very important part of your life.
It is.
The Chelsea Flower Show.
Yes.
That's a huge thing that you do. What a fantastic gig. How thrilled were you when you started doing that?
Do you know what's so interesting? When they first asked me to do it, I just finished a show called Pop Idol.
A little
show that went out back in the day, a little one.
Yeah,
and they asked me to go on and judge Plant Idol. So I was on there with Dermot Gavin and Alan Titchmarsh, and we had such fun, like looking at all the plants and deciding which one. And then I was working on BBC Breakfast News, and I did a behind the scenes at RHS Chelsea, and they loved it. And they said, "Would you like to be part of the team that you know does all the broadcasting?" And I said, "Well, I'm not a florist. I'm not a horticultural expert. I'm just passionate about gardening, but I know nothing." And they said, "Well, actually, that's what we want. You're going to be surrounded by experts. We want a presenter." We use the term loosely. But when I joined it, I was just coming out of the music industry and I loved it. Honestly, Tom, I was like, I have found my second home. No one else was really that interested. The garden community, they have been there, you know, people that love gardening, and we are a nation of gardeners.
Yeah.
But, you know, there wasn't Instagram. People at, you know, other radio stations or in TV, they weren't coming down to the Chelsea Flower Show. They weren't gardening.
It's so people, changed so much. People say, it's you.
No.
Chappas has turned gardening into rock and roll.
So haven't.
But it's so true. But you're right.
And everyone's like, why would you want to present the Chelsea Flower Show? And I would look at them and say, you have obviously never been or watched the footage. It is the greatest gig on earth.
Yeah.
And I mean,
how much
that,
must you have learned now? If you started that as a self-appointed ignoramus when you started doing flower stuff, Chelsea Flower Show, working for the RHS 20 years ago, how much have you learned from doing all these shows, doing all these bits to camera? You must know loads.
I have, and I do know quite a bit, but there's always more to learn. Yeah. And also, I'm surrounded by people that really know their stuff, so it's best just to leave it to them. Mm. And I want to know, you know, I'm the viewer at home, aren't I? I'm that person on social media that's like, how do I grow this? What sort of soil do I have? And also, you know, the world has changed. When I did it, people were like, why would you?
Yeah.
And I knew as soon as I was down there, this was like it is the jewel, literally, the flowering jewel in my presenting crown. Mm. But also, think of how the world has changed in the last 20 years. Let's park social media to one side.
Please do.
There's lots of good to social media.
Of course.
I have a really good experience with it, I have to say.
Yeah.
And my algorithm is really healthy, but sounds good, doesn't it?
It's like your biome.
Yeah, look at that.
It's because you clean the grills. That's why.
That's what it is. That's why I'm getting it right. But also, we are much more aware. And the gardening community has said for decades, this is good for you. Put your phone down. Be out there. Wear bare feet. Go through the garden, into a park. Look at the trees. Look up. Look at the sky. Mm. We now know how good it is for us. But 20 years ago, it wasn't. They were saying it. We weren't listening.
Monty Don has been shouting about it for years.
Exactly. They all have.
Absolutely. I went there. I was lucky enough to go very recently and you were there. It was brilliant to see you. I went with my mum and we went to the Parkinson's Garden, which ended up winning the People's Choice. I was about to say the best in show. Dogs. And it won the People's Choice Award at Chelsea Flower Show. Much deserved. Arit Anderson designed it. It's absolutely fantastic. I am you 20 years ago when it comes to gardening.
Oh,
quite interested, but very much like, is that a plastic plant or is that real, right?
Yeah.
And we go in there and we park in this Parkinson's garden with my mum on her buggy. And it's packed. It's boiling and it's packed. It's really full. Beautiful, but it's very busy. And we're suddenly in this little square of garden, probably no bigger than this studio. And there's just this peace thing that happened. And I was really conscious of it. It was really odd. And I've not had that for years. I grew up with an amazing garden in my house. Never appreciated it. And I've just felt like it was a moment where I was like, oh, I could see this being a thing again.
And did you see the bees and all the insects and birds coming in and having a wash in the water feature?
Yeah. Yeah.
But when they're building those gardens, and this is a really interesting point, I think, they are building them. It is a building site. They're created within 6 weeks and they're taken down within 3 or 4 days. Mm. And they all have to be rehomed, number one.
Of course,
everything.
Yeah.
While they are building, the wildlife are finding those gardens.
Oh, wow.
So it just goes to show, I've got foxgloves aplenty in my garden. Literally the buzz. I probably had 20 bees on my foxgloves yesterday. Mm. So, you know, when we think, oh, we can't really make a difference, in actual fact, we can.
Yeah, yeah.
We really, really can. And it is a very special place. But not everybody can go. I get that. Mm. There's loads of shows around the UK. So go to your local ones if you can. It really is a beautiful day out.
Absolutely.
But also the coverage is incredible because it is busy. It's always busy. And they try and get as many people they can safely there to get, you know, let everyone see it.
Yeah.
And then the money goes to charity to help people. I think 17 million they raised last year.
You told me this the other day. 17 million.
And do you know what? For years, the RHS have been doing this.
Yeah.
And haven't really shouted about it. They do things under the radar. They get on with the job. They do a brilliant job. They're now shouting about it. The reason it's busy is because they do want people to have an amazing experience, but also to raise money so that you can go into schools, youth groups, community projects, and spread that word. Because not everybody gets the experience of a garden. Not everyone has one. You might have a window box, container.
Mm.
So, you know, I think that's super, super important. And I just think gardening is for everyone, whether you've got house plants,
yes,
whether you're lucky enough to have a garden.
Yeah,
it does
touch
our lives.
I feel like it's slowly coming back to me. Also, the thought that pops into my head as you're talking about this. So when you're doing the presenting and you're very much a sponge for the information that's coming to you, how does that flip to the 90s and the early noughties when you're doing, obviously you're working as a PR in the music industry, then you're on Pop Stars and Pop Idol. And you're not necessarily a sponge. You're more of an opinion maker. You want things to happen. It feels like a big change. You've gone from managing and making big choices about imagery and how people are looking. And then suddenly you're just absorbing stuff.
It's great.
Yeah.
I only have to look after me.
Oh, I've been like that for 45 years. Oh, yeah. It's wonderful.
I don't have to be outside with a cup of coffee waiting for someone to turn up. Do you know what? It was such an exciting time because I was offered the opportunity to be a kids presenter when I was working with one of my bands. It was Take That, and BBC came up and said, you know, would you like to do a show reel? And that's what you do. You send in a show reel, they have a look at it, and they said, we'd like you to be a kids presenter. Mm. And I was like, you know what? I don't think it's for me. And I asked my mom, and she said, do you really want to do that? I was like, And she said, oh, I wouldn't if I was you, love. You know, the least pushy mother ever.
But you had a perfectly good job working with Take That and doing all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, I didn't want to be a presenter. It just didn't occur to me. But when it came round again, yeah. I was pitching an idea to the head of the BBC and they said, why aren't you presenting? And I was like, what? No. I'm not a journalist. Yeah. I didn't go to university. Mm. You know, I happily left school at 16. That's what people like me did. And she said, I don't want a journalist. I don't want someone who's been to university. I want someone with life experience.
Yeah.
You've run your own company. You know how to work with people.
Of course.
And in a way, I think when you're working with talent, shall we say, it's exactly the same skills as when you're working with anybody else. You treat them with respect, you look after them. And so a lot of my shows are lifestyle-y, but it's the same skill set. But I do love what I do. Yeah. There's elements, there are days when I miss the music industry, but...
You wouldn't go back into it, would you?
Do you know what? I wouldn't have a clue.
No.
Because it has changed beyond measure.
You'd have to get on the TikToks very quickly.
Exactly. Mm. But I mean, it's like all these things. If you need to do it, you do. But I had an incredible career and I had a huge degree of success that I can now say. I never would have said that at the time. Mm. But I did have a huge degree of success because I worked with amazing talent. I was the facilitator.
Yes, but you still had an element of choosing the talent you worked with, right?
Yes. Yeah, I said no to a few.
Oh, that's where we get good. Who's the person who, here's an arbitrary random question, who's the person who you worked with who you feel, is there a person who springs to mind when you think, damn it, they should have done better, they deserve more?
Yeah, actually there are. I worked a Kylie Minogue album, which I absolutely loved, which didn't do the numbers it should have done.
It's like the indie one?
Yes, Pop Princess, beautiful. I mean, amazing album. She was great, but Kylie went off and did a film halfway through with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you've cracked a really weird memory. Yeah.
I found was that I needed Kylie. You know, she had to be in the country. She has to promote. She has to work. People want to see her. Uh-huh. And the album was brilliant, but it didn't do the numbers it should have done. It should be up there.
Yes, yes,
and there's
yes.
There was a band called Blue Mercedes right at the beginning of my career, which didn't do anything. I've buried a few artists in that time. I've worked some massive acts, which, we haven't had the chart success they probably were expecting.
Full-on job, full-on occupation, like 24/7.
Right? When I was working music industry, bloody loved it. It was amazing. Yeah, I did. It was amazing. Great time, great artists. Had my head down. I took it really seriously. Mm. And the music industry was changing. It was becoming a little bit more of a business. When I first started, it was everything you think of and perhaps a little bit more.
Yes.
You know, that sort of slightly darker side.
This 90s? Is this early 90s?
Yeah, I started actually, and it'll surprise you, my late 80s.
Okay.
I know. I was a child.
Quite, yes, quite. Well, you left school at 16, you've already said.
You weren't even born, come on. True. But it was changing and it was brilliant. I work with incredible people. I work with great men. And I'm going to say that because often you hear these horrendous stories.
Yes.
And I was sometimes involved with that and I saw it happen. But the guys that I worked with were brilliant. And I just want to put that out there because not everybody was awful. And they put a lot of faith into me. You know, my old boss, Nick Godwin, who became my business partner when we had an independent PR company. You know, my MDs were brilliant.
Yeah.
And Simon Fuller, who I worked with for many years as his creative director, and I looked after all his acts for him.
Mm.
You know, it was amazing days. It was fun. It was exciting.
So much going on.
Successful. People had money.
Yes.
We had expense accounts. I'm that fickle, you know.
But it, do you not get that on Magic Radio then?
No,
you
don't, okay, sadly.
Interesting.
I get a coffee and that's about it.
Oh, my days are so embarrassing. I don't remember buying all these silly little strange things. I swear on my life, I was forced by my wife with an ABBA penknife that I bought on ABBA. Wait a minute.
We're going to move on and see what else you've been buying. And again, this takes us to the outdoors, or at least I hope it's outdoors. Maybe it's indoors, actually. You have bought a whole load of fish food. So, yeah, fish food
tubs. I can't believe you pulled that up.
I know. There's just, is this, I'm assuming buckets. It's for fish. Bucket, yeah, that
buckets of fish food. It was 2 for 1.
I'm sure.
But we have cichlids. Is that what they're called? Cichlids.
Let's go with it.
Let's have a look. Little silver, goldfish, sorry. Baby goldfish. Really cute. Lots of different ones. Sucker. We've got a sucker fish. No rude jokes, please.
Mm-hmm.
And and it was on special offer.
Right.
But these fish are minute. They're little. We've got loads of them.
Where are they?
Piranhas.
Indoors or outdoors? You've got a little pond. Come on. I want the details.
Do you have a pond? You haven't seen the size of my garden. If you use my downstairs toilet.
Yeah. Are they in the toilet? They're in the wall. Stop it.
So when men come to our toilet, they're looking at a fish tank. Ladies, it's not quite so good. But, and I'm going to say cloakroom. Do you know what a cloakroom is?
Yeah, it's often the cupboard under the stairs.
It's a toilet. It's a posh way of saying toilet.
I see.
And I was filming Escape to the Country, and I said about it's got a downstairs cloakroom, blah, blah, blah.
Whoa, stop me there, Nikki.
And
what's
my
that?
Producer went, you haven't mentioned the bog. And I went, no, I called it a downstairs
cloakroom. I would call it an understairs toilet. Not a cloakroom for me is someone with a ticket saying, nicer. I'll put your bag on this rail.
Yeah, nicer.
Oh, that's classy. Look, this is what you're going to get from the
show. Well, I don't
today.
Know. Someone will write in and say I'm wrong, well, but there we go. Yeah, but anyway, worry. Our fish are in the toilet. There we are.
So as a lady sitting down to wee in your cloakroom,
mm-hmm.
isn't it quite unnerving though that there are fish looking over your shoulder?
Well, they'll go mad because they think they're going to get fed. And someone said to me, when you pull the chain, does it go But it's in the wall, which is a bit showbiz, isn't
when
it?
When did you do that? That's very cool.
When we moved into the house.
Right.
And so if ever you go into a department store, you know those huge fish tanks for like La Prairie or one of those expensive fish creams, yeah. one of those face creams, they have this massive tank as is minute.
Right.
But it's just, it's lovely.
Yes.
And it's a feature in a downstairs room. And then we've got fish wallpaper as well going around.
So that the fish can look at the wallpaper.
Yeah.
Is that all over the house, the fish wallpaper, or just in the cloakroom?
No, just in the downstairs cloakroom.
God, so that should be the fish room, not the cloakroom.
Yeah, that's true, the fish room. But it's cute. It's really nice. I fed them today before I came out. They went mad.
I'm glad to hear that.
They're like little piranhas.
How many are there in there?
Loads. The fish tank's quite small.
Yeah.
Should I share this next
yes,
bit of information?
Definitely. Yeah, if in doubt, yes. Yeah.
We have a man.
Oh, hello.
That comes around once a month and cleans it out for us.
Oh, no. When you say cleans it out?
Cleans out the tank. Looks after them.
Gets rid of the dead ones?
We don't have dead ones, right. If you don't mind. Thank you. But cleans the tank. Because everyone always says, fish, they're quite a lot of work. And I go, no, really, because there's a nice man who comes and cleans it out.
So Nikki Chapman's got a fish man.
Mm.
This is the stuff we find out on the show.
I've got a fish man.
So he comes around, gets in your cloakroom.
Yeah.
And cleans it out.
Yeah, cleans it out. Brings new ones if they're not happy. Make sure they're happy. Puts this stuff in to make sure they're clean and no bugs and everything.
Yeah,
scoops it all out, cleans it. But he used to come in. Look at the microphone. He used to come in and he used to wear a yellow sweatshirt, that colour.
Oh, wow.
Fish went mad. They literally were jumping out.
Why?
He said to me, I can't wear my yellow sweatshirt anymore.
Why? Because
the fish looked at it and thought he was a big fish.
No, it's like a nature threat colour.
Think of all the lovely guests you've had on this podcast.
I never knew.
Talking about man wearing a yellow sweatshirt.
If anyone's going fishing today, don't wear bright yellow.
Don't wear bright yellow.
God, that's very useful, isn't it?
So we have a fish man.
Okay, good. So barbecues, fishing. Well, not quite fishing. We've bought, look, so there's a book here. Now, this is a huge book, okay, which I have seen. It's the sort of book my dad read this book. It's got strong sort of Ken Follett vibes. It's
actually, yes, it has.
London by Edward Rutherford. Talk to me, because this book is get this, 1,319 pages.
It is the most incredible book, and he has done Salem, Paris,
yes.
New York.
Yes, go on.
Either Moscow or Russia.
Ruska.
Yeah.
Ruska.
An incredible writer. Now, I don't know whether it's got edited out, it might do, but I'm going to repeat it in case you edited out earlier. I left school at 16, so I had a very basic education, of which I always put it out there because a lot of people have a basic education and I think it's a bad thing. And it's like, you know what, that was just how it was.
Mm.
And it shouldn't hold you back from doing anything that you want to do.
Of course.
And university wasn't for me. But I have no knowledge. I don't really have much geography knowledge or historical knowledge and things like that. So a lot of the way I glean it is through reading, or it used to be. I don't read as much as I used to. And this book, it's a fictitious book based in London, but it goes through one family from literally Bronze or Stone Age all the way through.
You're getting your history here.
Exactly.
You're getting a good, solid history GCSE.
It's like Philippa Gregory for Elizabethan time, which is what a writer, what a brilliant woman.
Incredible.
You know, Ken Follett, who you've mentioned, Pillars of the Earth, one of the best books ever.
I love the Ken Follett book. A Ken Follett book on a summer holiday is one of my greatest pleasures.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Who wrote Shard Lake?
C.J. Sansom. They're incredible
Amazing
works.
Books.
He was really sad that he died, but he wrote, I think, the Shard Lake books, there's five or six of them. They tried to make it into a TV series.
And it's a lawyer. It's a hunchback lawyer during Henry VIII's life.
That's right.
And you learn so much about the plague, the Great Fire. I'm not saying they came out at the same time as Henry VIII, but you know what I mean? You learn all these historical events.
Yes.
And Pillars of the Earth is a great book, but this one, London, is absolutely brilliant with a twist. So, you know, historically, it's correct with a fictional family going through and how they rise up, they lose their wealth, they come back through those centuries. It's really, really clever.
I'm always surprised because I see this book quite often on this show. You see it pop up on
Do you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm always surprised. And maybe I'm wrong here. Someone will probably correct me. I don't think it's been made into a TV series. I don't think it's ever been grabbed and used because they're huge epic books. They're incredibly popular. I mean, first released probably in the 80s, I want to say, this one, or certainly a few years ago now.
We bought it for a friend of ours. I've read it. Shaki, my husband's read it. And a friend of ours, she's French, and she's moved to London.
Oh, yeah.
And she's an avid reader. And I said, read this book.
Yeah.
And I said, and then afterwards I said, read Paris, because obviously that's where she's from and she'd love it. But I can't recommend it enough. I sadly struggle with reading. Now I can read, obviously, but I can't. My concentration's gone.
Yes,
but I can't recommend these books enough.
So the concentration's gone. Is that post 2019?
Yes. So I had a brain tumor, and I don't know whether it's age or anything, but the attention span has gone when I read. I can, but I have to really concentrate. I tend to put books down, and that's why I realized was years ago I didn't.
Did they warn you about that when you...
No, you don't know how you're going to react when you've had surgery. You just want to come through it. Yeah, it's a small price to pay.
Yes.
And I can read and I have to learn my scripts.
Yeah.
I just find everything takes a little bit longer. Learning lines takes longer. Retaining information takes a little bit longer. I can read books, but I might read only two books a year now.
Okay.
And I really make an effort. I don't mind an audiobook.
Okay.
But for a podcast, do you like what I did there?
Oh, I love a podcast. So I'm really interested in this idea of a book that is accessible and popular, like a Ken Follett. And I know that an Edward Rutherford, a lot of people, hopefully not my listeners, but a lot of people are quite snobby about that sort of stuff. Do you know what I mean? They say it's quite lo-fi, it's quite basic and things like that.
I'm basic.
Well, I'm always like,
I'm average.
Don't care. I want the good stuff.
Yeah.
I want the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah. Someone at the BBC said, in the nicest of ways, and I'm not going to name who they are because they are the most beautiful, amazing person and really championed me. They said, my appeal was that I'm Miss Average. And I got what they meant. They didn't mean it rudely.
Ouch.
No, I take that as a compliment. It means I don't pretend to be something that I'm not. I know my strengths. I know my weaknesses. Yeah. And you know what? If I'm Miss Average, I'll take that as a win. And if you learn something and you love books, if you read them.
Mm.
Read anything that excites you on any subject matter. Because to have a good book means you put down your phone. And whether it's on a Kindle or whether you like a physical book, I like a physical book myself. Mm. Whether you're on holiday, whether you're sitting in your garden, you're on the train, you know, even if it's 5 minutes, how much better is it to read that book than it is to look on a social media site and look at the news?
I feel my brain sort of arrive back at the... Mm. when I've managed to force myself to put all the stuff away and the overstimulation, I saw a post the other day, ironically, I saw it on Instagram, of someone saying the amount of information we're consuming on a daily basis is what our grandparents would have consumed in a month.
No.
Yeah, and it's a pretty arbitrary fact that's been plucked out of thin air, but the point of it is
probably
really interesting.
True.
Well, it probably is true. Who knows? But the point of it is really interesting. We are being so overstimulated. And the thought of sitting down with a book, and the other day I forced myself to do it, and I had for 20 minutes, and I felt my brain arrive.
What were you reading?
Oh, gosh. What have I been reading recently? I read a book called The New Life by Tom Crew. It's fantastic. It's set in the 1890s. It's about two gay guys writing a book about what it is to be, as they called it then, an invert. That was the word for
really?
For gay then, yeah. And it was just as the Oscar Wilde trial was happening. And according to the book, there wasn't a huge stigma around it. Then the Oscar Wilde trial happened, and then these guys were sort of almost driven underground by it. Anyway, fascinating book. If you've not read it, Tom Crew, I recommend it wholeheartedly. But I disappeared for half an hour. Oh!
And can you imagine being you, age 8 or 9, the difference at the moment in this world, sitting down and finding the joy of reading? You know, that's the thing. I mean, I'm getting quite preachy now, and I don't have kids.
Oh, no, we preach often on the pot, yeah.
You know, just getting young people reading. Perhaps don't start them on London. Moving
no,
on.
No, Paris is the one for them.
Comedians, beware. This is the podcast that could scare you and all of your funny friends from buying things on Amazon. But don't delete your histories. You'll bring Tom Price down to his knees. Please just confess your shopping sins. On My Mate Bought a Toaster, we hear where your money's been.
Printer ink, lots and lots of printer ink. Are you a printer, Nikki Chapman? This is what we're finding out here.
Don't hate me, yes.
Go on. Are you so, like, my wife's ex-boss used to print his emails up every day. His secretary would print all his emails.
No way.
He'd read them on paper and throw them away.
Oh, no. I do print stuff off because I find it easier to learn if it's printed off.
Yeah.
I find it easier to absorb. That I can't learn stuff off a phone or off a tablet, off a computer. I have to print it off. I know we've all got to be mindful before anyone moans at me. But
hey, listen, you've all seen the bottom of those emails. Do you really need to print this email?
And I go, yes.
Because otherwise, yes, I do. Yeah, yes, actually. Yeah. I do.
There's some things in life you do need to help you, and that's one of them for me. And so I do get through quite a lot of ink for my scripts.
What are you printing? Oh, so mainly the scripts and
scripts,
stuff like that.
Scripts, yeah. It'll also be my logs for Magic Radio to see what I'm playing every night. I love that. I don't like to go in and not know what I'm playing. So that's really important. So I always print them off early so I can have a look.
So when you go off and do Escape to the Country and you've got your printed scripts and going through your lives and stuff like that, how much opportunity is there when you're doing those bits to camera to improvise, to have natural conversations? Is it very tightly controlled these days in TV, or are you allowed? Because obviously we're living in a podcast world where half a thought can lead to half an hour. Back in Planet TV with that sort of stuff, is it very tight, or is it still...
It's not tight, actually. When you're filming the show, and for those who don't know it, it's where we take people and they might want to escape to the country, but they don't know where they want to live, or they have an idea, but they haven't found the perfect property. But it isn't just about bricks and mortar. It's about lifestyle.
Yes,
why,
okay.
Yeah, how are you going to change your life? Why are you going to change your life? So all of that is on the hoof. I have the notes on the houses, but everything we do there is on the hoof.
Great.
So chatting with them, reactions, all of that. The only pieces I have to learn are facts, things, and also the opening piece to camera.
Right.
And so the dialogue, which feeds through. So if you want to improvise it, you can. But for me, and everyone's different, but the way it works for me is if you've got a producer who's crafted that piece and a good producer will write in your style, why would I want to change it?
I
like to be produced. We're all different. I do like to be produced.
Tell me what to do. Point me over there. Well, for that, certainly for a bit to camera, you want to just...
Do you know what? It's like anything that you do. You know, if you're in a movie or whatever it is, there's people outside looking in and they can say to you, that's great. That doesn't really work. You were waffling on that bit. You know, you were talking too quickly.
Do you watch yourself back?
No.
You know you're meant to watch yourself back.
Why?
Someone told me this years ago. I can't.
No, don't. Because watch yourself once or twice and then they will tell you if you need to. But don't, because otherwise all you do is analyse yourself and say, God, my voice sounds awful. Yeah, well, I don't need to.
Or worse, I think the bigger danger, the bigger danger is you watch yourself back and go, God, I should, why
oh
am
my
I
God,
not?
I think I'd be ill. No, you can see, look at my body language.
Go on, you won't hate watching yourself back.
Yeah, and I even listening to myself on the radio.
Really?
Because you hear
something
different.
You're brilliant, though. Why would you?
Because your ear hears something different. When you talk, you hear your voice. When you hear it back, it sounds different, doesn't it? Tell me it does.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet you love
it. I like the sound. I mean, I have to edit.
I knew you were going to say that.
I have to
you
edit.
You love listening to yourself.
Hours and hours of this crap.
You love listening to
I
yourself.
I often listen back to the pod and go, oh, I'm quite pleased with that.
Do you?
Yeah, but often because of my guests. More
yeah, but is
of my
it
guests.
More editorial than you, like, yes, loving yes, yourself? Yes,
no, it's not because I think I'm genius. It's because I think, oh, this is a good podcast.
Or do you listen episode. Back and go, I should have asked that question.
Yes, I get very cross with myself.
I do that. I'm driving back from Escape to the Country and I'm like, yes. Why didn't I ask them on the train? Why didn't I ask them that killer question?
Yes. Are there any couples who you... How often do you really feel like, oh, I've really... This isn't just a TV show. I've really persuaded them to move to Wiltshire or whatever. Like, how often does that happen?
Moving is the biggest... commitment you're ever going to make
yes.
because it's so much money. So at the end yeah. of the day, you know, you have to respect that for people. But we have amazing people on our show, absolutely amazing. And often when they're on it, and I'm not just making this up, this yeah. is the truth, they're nervous. So when you see someone, they go, well, they're not saying much, are they? It's not because they don't want to say anything. It's they're nervous. We're making a TV show.
Do they do the thing when you switch the camera? We have this on the radio all the time. As soon as they get off air, as soon as you switch the camera off,
yeah.
yak, yak, yak.
Yeah,
like, oh, come on.
I try and not do rehearse with them beforehand because otherwise they give you gold and then they forget it when you do yes. it or they've said it or they go, did I say that earlier? But they're lovely and it's my job to make them feel at home because at the end of the day, I do it every day. At yeah. the end of the day, I do it every day. That's good,
it's
isn't
great
it?
Sentence.
But they don't. And my job is to look after them. Yeah. We are the glue. I want them to have the best possible time on our show, not just to find a house and a lifestyle, but the whole experience to be like, oh, I'm really pleased I did that. Mm. We never set anybody up. We don't no. edit it so they look bad.
But this is you with the music industry as well, right? Because as soon as you go do Pop Stars and Pop Idol, you wanted to make music and find good bands, whereas the entertainment element was kicking in and then things like X Factor was starting to, it was becoming a... entertainment slightly crueler thing and you were uncomfortable with that or?
Well, we didn't have it. We didn't have social media for Pop Stars or Pop Idol.
No.
I mean, I when
but
I
the nature of the show was pushing it in a more look at them, they're idiots direction.
But it didn't start like that.
No.
And the thing is, once you've had a successful show and also it's a different world, you do that now, we know it's not right.
Yes.
But also we don't live in that world. 20 years ago, we were living in that world. We were taking people down. So when that's I did awful. Pop Stars and Pop Idol, yes, we did have some funny auditions and stuff, but Ant and Dec were kind.
Yes.
You know, the judges, we had one rude judge, but we had two really nice judges, and I'm putting myself in that bracket. Yes, yeah. We were nurturing. You know, you're not quite for me. Sorry.
Yes.
You know, you didn't get me go, what the hell were you thinking? You know, I might be thinking that, but I of certainly course. Didn't say it. No. But also people weren't, they came in, with an innocence about them. They yeah. didn't realize how huge the show was. Whereas when the show started to get bigger, they were like, I want a piece of this. I want to be famous. Whereas we were looking for a pop idol. Mm. We were looking for a singer.
Yes.
And
yes.
it did get a lot more heated, shall we say, but I wasn't involved with those shows. No. So I can put my hand on my heart and go, actually, the way I looked after my artists, I'm happy with, looking back on reflection.
Yeah.
I was like their mum, even though sometimes they were the same age as me.
It must have been... forgive mixing metaphors, it must have been like a drug to step away from all that when you did. And suddenly, I just can't believe you've gone from that to the Chelsea Flower show presenting. Like, well, it feels, I know it's not that simple, but it's a big change in gear.
I came off doing a world tour with the Spice Girls, or nearly a world tour with the Spice Girls, and that was a private plane with us all on and yeah. everything. When I say private plane, it was huge. There's loads of us on it. Don't think it was just one or two planes. It was a big plane with like 40 people on it. Yeah. But I came off that, 5-star hotels. And then I went to work for the BBC, do Escape to the Country, standing in a ditch, trying to sell someone a house, you know, like perhaps a 2 or 3-star hotel. That was the reality check. But I love it. I absolutely love it. But those golden years have absolutely gone for me. You know, I don't have that life anymore.
No.
And in a way, I was the edge of a glass bowl. They were in the middle of it and I was just sitting on the edge.
Yeah.
And how lucky was I? The girl from Herne Bay.
Front row seats.
Going around the world,
yeah.
filming documentaries with my bands, having a brilliant time, going to gigs, loving life. I was in my 20s. It was just amazing.
But the crucial thing is, it sounds like you've done that. You can never, you've got to be careful not to glue your happiness to the status. That's the thing, right?
Well, you know, if I want a name drop, and there's going to be people that are going to be going,
you here, for God's sake?
There's going to be people going, oh my God,
no, come
shut
on.
Up, Chappers.
No, no,
you know, I stayed in Madonna's house and Steven Spielberg's house.
Mm.
That's never going to happen now, but I did. How amazing is that?
It's amazing.
It is. I mean, but, it's like I never did it, actually.
But like, this is what I mean. It's like you don't...
It's like it never happened.
Yes, I can imagine. It's completely insane. Weird. But again, it's that thing of going, yeah, I had this incredible experience, and these people who are ridiculous, Madonna, Steven Spielberg, absolutely ridiculous. But I never... You seem to be pretty unchanged by it, right? You didn't then waltz out of their house going, I'm Nicky Chapman, I'm best friends with Madonna. That doesn't seem to be...
I have met her. I didn't meet her at her house. It was rented. It was nice. I mean,
but still, right? You haven't then sort of... That hasn't inflated any egos, it feels like. Or did it? And was there a crash afterwards?
Will you tell me? I don't know. No, of course. I know. I think I've always been... I always say I'm not very cool, but Taylor Swift says she's not cool. So I'm like, I love you for saying that. I've never been cool. I wasn't paid to be cool. Yes. I didn't run with the cool set.
Oh, what relief.
It wasn't me. No, I wanted to be the cool set, but that wasn't me. I got the job done. But not only did I get the job done, I did it well.
Yeah.
And that's why they came to me to say, will you do my PR? So if you're, you know, like David Bowie's management or Phil Collins or Prince, I was absolutely honoured to go, I'd love to work with you. But they came to me. I didn't ask them to work with me. They came to me. How amazing.
Phone calls.
I mean, it was brilliant. And it is that surreal moment where you're saying to Prince, do you want anything to eat? You know, it's like it never happened. It is being on telly, on Pop Idol and all those amazing shows and that life. It's as if it didn't happen to me. But how bloody lucky am I that it did?
Yes, hugely. But also you worked hard and...
It was amazing.
It's amazing. What an incredible journey. What an incredible story. When you talk about people like Prince or, you know, Barry or whatever, is there
Ka-donk.
One... Well, no, but that's, you know... But
that was my life. That was my
That was your
world.
Life and that was what you did. Mm. Is there one person who you always feel like... The word I've got in my head is misunderstood, but like, you know, someone like Prince, people would think of as this incredible showman and maybe you saw the quieter side of him. Is there someone you always feel like they were really different off camera, off stage? Is there a big sort of...
You definitely get people that are larger than life the whole time.
Mm.
And then often there's a crash.
Mm. Yeah.
But you also get people that, like, for example, it's really weird talking like this now because it was so a different world. A different world of mine, if you like. David Bowie, who was so dignified and humble and came in with hardly any entourage. Aman, his wife, was with him. He had his manager, a beautiful guy called Alan Edwards, who works in PR but also managed him. And you just look at this man and I was like, oh my God, I grew up with you. And I'm just a really small, small cog in a massive wheel because he's had loads of pluggers in the past. It's like, which one's this? You know, this is Nicky. Hi, Nicky. But he was everything that I wanted him to be. And when you meet huge superstars like David Bowie, or I interviewed Renee Zellweger for something, they come in very low maintenance, really nice. They say hello to everybody. They sit there, they wait their turn. And you just think, you know what? You don't have to be an asshole because you could be more like them. But that goes for all of us. You don't have to be famous to be an asshole. And I always, people say to me, why are, you know, people in the music industry, why when people are famous, are they difficult? I'm like, no, they're not. Look at your family. Look at your friends. Look at work colleagues.
Yes,
there'll be someone in your social circle that is an asshole.
Yes.
And everyone makes allowances for it. You don't say anything. But when you're famous, no one forgives you.
All right, look, we're going to move on now. You've got a jet pressure washer. You've got to love doing a jet wash. Do you do it or does the other half do it?
Other half.
Oh.
We have pink and blue jobs in our house.
Okay.
And the only reason we use those colours isn't how we identify.
Sure.
It's that I love pink. Normally I have pink in my hair. And he likes Leeds United, so it's blue.
Oh, I
or
see.
Yellow. Okay, so, you know.
Fine.
So we have pink and blue. But if you want to be green, if you want to be purple, you can be any colour
any colour you like.
But they're our jobs.
And are they divided 50-50?
Well, just shout out a few things in the house.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay, bins.
Pink. Has that surprised you?
Do you do all of the bins?
Mm.
Okay, a light bulb's gone.
Blue.
Broadband.
Oh, blue.
Council tax.
Pink.
Interesting. We found a new feature here. Mm.
I own the rights, by the way.
God, she's good. Did you see that? Did you see 90s Chappers just appear then? I love it when she's here. Okay. I know where this is going to go. Christmas presents.
Pink. And let's put birthday cards as well. Pink. You're grimacing.
I handed a gift to my sister-in-law the other day from me and my wife. And she looked at me and went, what is it?
And you had no idea.
That's a bloody open it.
What about birthday cards? Who buys them in your house?
Pink, 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 pink.
Christmas cards?
Pink, 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 pink. Go on.
Do you still do Christmas cards, or are you one of these? You just
hardly any anymore. I just think a solid WhatsApp on Christmas Day will do it. That'll cover it up.
You're so dull.
Yes, yes, I am.
What's the purchase history of this jokester? Stay tuned for my mate bought a toaster.
Plum slate decorative aggregates, slate pebble chippings, garden gravel. You've bought plum-coloured garden gravel.
Well, it's
for your plum garden. Why have you got plum-coloured slate?
Well, yes, they're plum-coloured, but when you put them down, it's quite a nice, subtle colour.
Oh, yeah.
But they're not for the garden.
Oh, what? The drive?
No.
God, how long is the drive?
A drive is my new. But at least we've got a drive. We're lucky.
Yeah. Okay, not for the garden, not for the drive. Oh, is there some sort of balcony somewhere maybe?
No, they're for the trees in the road.
Oh, my God.
So the council replaced our trees during COVID lockdown. And we need more trees, 100%. So I did a roster on, I got a WhatsApp group going for my road and I asked everyone to help me water the trees because it was boiling. The first lockdown, it was like it is at the moment, absolutely roasting hot. And these poor trees were saps.
Yes.
And so I was asking everybody to water the trees. Otherwise, we were going to lose them. And if you lose a tree, the council aren't going to pay again.
No, that's that done.
So that was my mission during lockdown, as well as lots of other things, but that was one. Yeah. But then we were getting weeds around the trees.
Yeah.
And we don't want to use pesticides because that's bad, but we don't really want animals using that space either.
Fine.
And, you know, there's kids in my road, everything. So I went and bought all these pebbles on Amazon and I put them around the tree, around the base of the tree.
So why does that help?
Well, because it suffocates the weeds, keeps the moisture in.
Oh, this has turned into a day at the Chelsea Flower Show now.
Yeah,
I love this.
So you don't use pesticides, but also people with dogs don't tend to let their dogs use them because they can see them. If there's weeds, everyone goes,
that's fine.
Yeah, well, it's not everyone. Toilet. Don't hate me, not everyone.
No,
I know there's responsible dog owners,
yep.
But there's a lot or not. And you just don't need a whacking great poo in your road, do you?
No, awful.
And so if there's nice slate, you can see it, you're more likely to pick it up. But also it stops the weeds. You don't have to use pesticides. It's better for everybody. So I've sprinkled them round a few of the trees.
But you know what?
I can't lift. Years ago, I could lift a bag of slate pebbles, whatever, plum pebbles, coloured.
Yeah.
I can't anymore.
Right.
I don't know the weight. My arms are just like... gone.
I don't know. They look pretty muscly.
No, it's my age.
You look pretty ripped.
So,
come on.
Ripped. I look like I've been ripped.
Hench, I think, is the word to go for these days. Yeah.
So, I have to then put a note up on the WhatsApp group to say, is there anyone strong without a bad back that can help me move these things?
So there's a neighborhood situation.
Yeah, two of the guys, not being sexist, the girls want to help me, they're more than welcome. But two guys came straight away back and go, yeah, we're free. And I went, you haven't got bad backs, have you? Let's get. So it gets delivered to me, and then we shuffle the stuff down, and then I do the trees.
Oh my God. How often do you do this? Or was it just a one hit wonder?
Oh my God, no, every year. And I weed as well.
Oh.
Every year I put fresh slate down on them so they look nice. But I don't do the rest of the road. That's down to them.
So how many trees did you do?
1, 2, 3, 4. 4.
So if you're in somewhere in West London and you see plum-coloured slates by a tree, chap
on his nearby. It sounds nice, plum. It just looks like grey, but it's nice. But I only do 4 trees and I think the rest of the road can do the rest. Or they can grow weeds, which they do, sounds to them.
I'm very tempted because our street has got lovely trees on it. But the area around the bottom, is an absolute mess.
Yeah, and it drives me mad. I look at it and go, and you don't want to use pesticides. It's a really good way of doing it.
Chappers gets things done. That's what we're finding out on the show today.
It's just community spirit, really.
Talking of spirits, the Moth Negroni Gin.
Oh, I like what you did
Thank
there.
Thank you. Gin, vermouth. I'm available to do Escape to the Country. Gin, vermouth, Amaro.
Would you like to do it?
Oh, God, I'd love to do that stuff. I spent half my life on Right Move.
Yeah, but it's not about you. It's about the people and the houses.
I'm not interested. No.
Exactly. Okay. Good job we're friends.
I would love to do it. Let's talk about Negronis. They are strong. They're really strong.
You haven't met my husband.
Interesting. So he's a Negroni drinker. He manages Iron Maiden. He's got to be a drinker.
Careful. He loves them.
Yeah.
He loves them. They're small though.
They're in someone's hand there. Look at that. It's tiny.
They're not that small.
It's a big hand.
That's an old hand.
It's a weirdly really old hand. Good. Nothing wrong with that. Let's get old hands modelling stuff.
Look at mine.
I mean.
Old. Yep.
Listen.
Be careful. We need all the people who can on your podcast.
Careful, Tom. Take the win.
Exactly. we got into making margaritas and stuff with our next door neighbors during lockdown. We stood on a bench and I've got a NutriBullet that got passed over and it was only for alcohol.
Oh, wow.
And so us and our lovely neighbors used to make our own because obviously we weren't allowed to share. And we used to stand on our bench and they used to stand on their bench and over the, and we literally did that. It was brilliant. It was on a Friday and a Saturday.
I mean, these were the size of lockdown. Yeah. Obviously it was awful.
I mean, it was mad.
It was a crazy time, but it was a time where loads of people started new business and new ideas.
Yeah.
I see it again and again on this show, Ross Noble writing his crazy script that led to all sorts of things. There's always a moment every episode. But also, it broke down all these barriers, certainly in London.
Oh, do you know what? It was horrendous for so many people.
Yeah,
for a lot of us, it wasn't horrendous. I couldn't see my family, but we...
Exactly. It was just win after win after win.
But I always say, look for the win in every situation.
Yeah.
That's one of my sort of mantras. And there were some lovely things that came out of it. So I tried to remember those. And drinking across the garden fence was one of them.
Sipping Negronis. Quite a dangerous drink to have casually because it's quite a punchy drink.
Strawberry margarita.
It will really break down boundaries with your neighbours very quickly.
Nice. Yes, but don't fall off the bench. It was lovely. There were some really lovely times.
And then, look, finally, Nikki Chapman, as we get towards the end of this this waltz through your online purchase history, toothpicks.
Toothpicks, TPs are they called?
TPE.
I had, like a lot of people during lockdown, I had Invisalign put on my teeth.
Did you, the old gummy thing?
Yeah, and I've got like a metal, what do you call it at the back, retainer or something?
Plate, I want to say.
To keep them in place, because if you move your teeth as you get older, they tend to go back. Teeth move. So
your teeth are great. Oh, you're going to say your teeth are great because of the thing.
Yeah, but I haven't got that sort of turkey smile.
No.
I don't have the turkey look, but I wanted teeth that look like mine, but just better.
Right.
And so I've got like a plate at the back, like a metal rod on both sides. So when you eat, this is so gross.
Yeah, no, I love this. This is good stuff.
You get food in your teeth.
More.
And there's nothing worse. I'm a professional coach. I do some coaching and I can remember going home and I'd spent 2 hours with someone. And then when I got home, I looked in the mirror and I had like, it literally was spinach or salad.
And they'd been there the whole time.
And they hadn't told me. I did text them to say, thank you so much for today. Next time, please tell me I've got green in my teeth.
There's nothing worse. It's such a bright color.
Oh my God.
Hanging off.
So if you go into my handbag, which I'm not asking you to do, but there will be a magnifying mirror in it all the time and a TP toothpick.
Check the teeth.
Yeah.
This is why I love having a co-host on the radio show, because Kat and I just go, teeth.
I always do that. I don't care anymore. When I'm at whatever company I'm with, like, hey, can you check my teeth?
Yeah. Do you find that you care more about how you look these days as a presenter? Is that something that bothers you?
I make more of an effort now than I ever did. Mm-hmm. When I did Pop Stars and Pop Idol, I just used to rock up. Didn't have hair, didn't have makeup or anything. Didn't even think about it. When I turned up with my artist, they'd be in the makeup chair and I'd look in the mirror and go, when I saw me, because it was about them. It was about them. Yeah. But I probably do make more of an effort. But I still think, how can I put this? I want to look nice, but I don't want to be a slave to it.
No, yes. That's a perfect way of putting it. Yes, that makes perfect sense. I don't want it to drag
me
down.
You see me every day anyway. What do I look like?
You always look glorious, Nikki Chapman. You always wear great clothes. You always look gorgeous. Yes, you do, genuinely, of course.
I wear jeans.
I don't even need to be nice to you now because you've done my podcast.
Exactly.
I can be honest. Final thing I want to talk about, which I find just endlessly fascinating, Spice Girls, and what it's like seeing that. Because Melanie C.
You got silly, didn't you, the other week?
Yeah, Melanie C. came into Magic the other day. So I should say, I probably haven't mentioned this already. Nikki presents Mellow Magic after we do the Drive Time show on Magic Radio. So I see you most days. And Melanie C. came in and I couldn't talk to her. The iconic tattoos on her arms.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched so much Spice Girls and listened to all their tunes so much as a teenage boy, and meeting her left me in a complete mess. How is it for you when you see them now and they see what you're doing compared to what you were doing with them in the 90s and they see your success and how you're flourishing now as an act yourself? Do they sort of go, all right, look at you stepping out from the shadows?
They've always been really lovely, is the truth. And a lot of acts that I meet, even if I haven't worked with them, watch the shows that I make, or I'm part of, I should say, because I'm part of a team, which is hugely satisfying when people go, oh my God, I love you, you're the girl from Escape to the Country, something. But in the early days, it was difficult. I can remember going up and I was with an artist. And someone said, oh my God, I love you. Could I have your autograph, please? And they turned around and went, yes. And they went, oh no, I'm after Nicky's. And I did slightly die because it's about them. But they are very generous. The Spices were very, very generous about it all. But it is weird. And what you have to understand is when you're working with talent, most of the time, it's all about them.
Yes. That's why
so they will ask you about who else are you working? What other TVs have you got? And you never tell them. You just go, oh, a few things. Because otherwise they go, well, we're not on that show. Why are we on that show?
So you don't tell them who the other artists you're working with are?
Because I don't. They normally, they would know, but I didn't ever really.
It's a bit like not wanting to know who if you're in an open relationship. You don't want to know who you're...
Okay,
who,
what are you saying?
Well, no, if you were, hypothetically, you wouldn't want to know who your other half is seeing. You just go, I don't want to know about it.
I cannot believe you've used that as an example.
It just popped into my head.
You better dig yourself out. Please tell me that you have the most amazing wife who you adore and you would never be in an open relationship because you don't need to be.
It's fine. She knows the rules. We've got the ground rules. No, but seriously.
You're punching above your weight anyway.
Massively.
So, yeah.
It's that thing of looking of sort of when you've got an agent and stuff. If my agent, I once had an agent who would always tell me about how great their other acts were doing.
No, you don't
want
to know.
No, I don't want to know about that.
No, you don't want to know.
It's like telling you about someone else's lovers. I'm like, I don't want to know about who else you've been with.
But equally, my priority was always my act. So there was a time where I was on television and still looking after talent.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
But they were my world and that was all they needed to worry about. They were my priority.
Biggest pride and joy of your career, Spice Girls? Or Mellow Magic?
Hysterical laughter. I love what I do. Every time I do something new, it's like the best. Mm. So there isn't just one. I mean, I have had the most extraordinary career that I didn't expect to have. And I think probably Pop Idol.
Okay.
Because now looking back, it changed my life. Mm. It changed viewing habits in the UK. It was the most brilliant experience. It was a really positive experience for me. And then I got a whole new career out of it. So I think that people putting their faith in me, Simon Fuller going, I want you to be one of the judges. After me doing Pop Stars and going, oh, that was nice. I'm going back to my day job now.
Yeah.
I think probably that was one of the greatest things that I did because it changed. I changed direction.
It strikes me that you've just had some very cool phone calls. Nicky Chapman has had cool phone calls.
I have.
You get your Svengalis. They're always Simon Fuller and the word Svengali, always in the same part of my brain. You get your Svengalis calling you up. You get your Prince or your Bowie or whatever. I don't know. You are the recipient of good phone calls, Nicky Chapman.
I hope I haven't let them down. That's what I would say. I hope they can look back in that time working with me and I'm working with them. And it was a pleasant experience. Yes. I think in life, it's knowing when to take an opportunity.
Yeah.
But also it's knowing when to say no. And in life, I have said no to opportunities. And at the time, it was the right decision.
Always hard to do that.
Yeah, it's harder to say no than it is to say yes.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Especially when there's money attached to things. But me, I'm always like, yes, yes.
Yeah, but you know, who would have thought?
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Listen, I'm very glad you said yes to this. Very surprised you said yes to this.
Me too. Not even getting paid.
What? Oh, no. No, you're not. No. Hey, what are you talking about? You had a flat white and a banana. You're not getting paid.
You know how to show a girl a good time. Can we just say that you are not in an open relationship? I'm really worried about your marital status.
To be clear, the relationship is I'm afraid, ladies and gentlemen, it's closed. Nicky Chapman, love you to bits. Thank you so much for doing My Mate Bought a Toaster.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back soon with some more Toasted, I absolutely promise. Don't forget, get in touch with the show. If you've got any questions, any topics that you feel have been raised and you want to chat about them, tom@toasterpod.com. We'll do a Toasted very soon. I've got Toby Tarrant, the fabulous Toby Tarrant, who is at the Edinburgh Festival this year, probably right now by the time you listen to this. He is going to be up next. His is a fabulous episode featuring arguably my favourite ever item ever featured on My Mate Bought a Toaster. That is the Toby Tarrant episode, out soon at patreon.com/toasterpod, out soon for everyone else's freebie ears, very soon indeed. Thanks again to Nicky Chapman. See you soon. All the best. Kind regards. Lots of love. It's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Oh, oh. It's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Yeah, yeah. My Mate Bought a Toaster. Oh, oh. Toaster Pod.